Hey everybody, JJ here. Back again with another Zoom networking presentation. It's the first one we have of 2023, and no better way to start the year than with a rock star. We got a heck of a young man on today. I talk all the time about relationships, building your network. Your network is your net worth. You want to surround yourself with great people. And our young man speaking today is no exception. With no further ado, I want to introduce my good friend, Mr. Daniel Esteban Martinez. Daniel, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here and happy to provide valuable information to the group today. I also have my partner, Anthony going on the call as well. We'll introduce him in a second. But I like doing a brief introduction on myself. Do you want to say something else, JJ?
Well, we'll do your introduction. I was just going to ask you, for those that don't know you, what part of the country are you from?
So I actually live here in Southern California. I live between San Diego and LA, and I am not an investor though. I invest in Texas only in Florida at the moment. So I invest out of state. We do land and we have a CRM business, which we'll talk a little bit about both, mostly about land, but we'll talk about the CRM business that we have, which I'm keen that Michael Rabin, he says he's a CRM builder right there. So I'm like, hey, I am too. That's what I do too. So it's kind of cool. And having people correlate in the group like that. So I appreciate everybody coming out and sharing your time with me. We appreciate, like I said, I hope you find value today and that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I love your logo because it emulates the brain and thinking. And, you'll have to tell us about Hive Mind today when we get Anthony on. But speaking about Michael Rabin, great young man, 16 years old. Look forward to introducing him to you. But as you were saying, you've got an intro. So let us have it, brother. What's your intro?
So for everybody who doesn't know, the reason why I use Daniel Esteban Martinez is because Daniel Martinez is a very popular name. So I need to differentiate myself from everybody else out there. So I like using my middle name. For everybody who doesn't know, I used to be a truck driver about 5 years ago. Me and Anthony actually started real estate investing about 4 years ago. We've really come a long way in the real estate space. And it's been a very interesting journey for us. But I used to be a truck driver. I used to load trucks, a forklift operator. And then I started my first business when I was 25. So my first business was a trucking company because I had a CDL, started a trucking company, did that for 2 years, ended up pivoting into real estate. And real estate's been my whole jam. I started doing houses and it was a bad experience for me. And then I met Anthony and we kind of both took the same course and we ended up learning about land. And then we've been doing land ever since. But in the midst of that, I've started a CRM company, which is a business automation platform. We do a lot of texting. I think we sent like over a million texts in the fourth quarter last year between all my clients. It was like 1.3 million texts. It was a lot.
In the fourth quarter alone?
Yeah, in the fourth quarter alone.
Oh my gosh.
So my platform is an automation platform to help you build and nurture your list through automation. So texting, emailing, cold calling, there's a dialer included, website builder. Most of we use it for our own business as well. We use texting and PPC as our main lead generators for what we use for real estate directly. And then we've just been doing that. We started HiveMind about, it'll be 2 years in February, 2 years next month is when we launched that. And like I said, we're really new to the space, but we kind of delved on a lot of different paths in the 4 years since I've been an entrepreneur, and in the 5 years I've been an entrepreneur and 4 years in real estate. It's been very, very interesting and a lot of creative journeys. We learned a lot as a whole.
Danny, let me ask you, you've talked about what you're doing now. Let me ask, were you always into real estate? Is this something, you talked about trucking. So did you ever have the inkling of how did you get into real estate? How did that transition come about?
It was out of necessity. When I was running my trucking company, I was just literally spinning my wheels, burning a lot of dollars. The profit margin wasn't there. In 2 years, I generated over $550,000 in revenue. And I never even saw a lot of that money. It just went straight through my fingers. If anybody's running a business with high expenses, it just runs straight through your fingers. So I was actually pivoting into anything at that point. I heard about real estate. So I used to listen to a lot of podcasts and YouTube. So I listened to a lot of podcasts on YouTube, learned about wholesaling, bought a course, and that's where I met Anthony. And then we kind of delved down that real estate course, land investing type of niche. I've been in real estate for 4 years now.
This show is sponsored by HiveMind CRM. It is more than just a CRM. It is a real estate and business mastermind that comes with an all-in-one CRM. You can have unlimited websites and users. You can call, text, RVM, and email all-in-one user interface. And you can set up custom automations for any type and multiple businesses. 65% of companies start using a CRM system within the first 5 years of business. Once implemented, the HiveMind will save you on marketing, give you more time, and make more money. One of our users had his first $100,000 month using our system in June. We want to see you automate and accelerate your business. Text us at 210-972-1842 for future meetings and, of course, to get our $1 course on how to make more than six figures on one land deal. You can schedule your free demo today at HiveMindCRM.io.
How about I bring Anthony on? We'll talk a little bit about what you guys are doing and how you guys met. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Lance, what's your question? You're on with Daniel and Anthony.
Hey, man. How's it going, guys? Question is, what kind of land do you invest in?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we invest in rural vacant land. We'll kind of jump down that path of different types of land we invest in. That's a good question. Like I said, we're going to jump down the land investing thing in a second. If that's all right with you.
Yeah, no problem. A little premature.
Lance, great question. We're gonna get to your answer. We're gonna have these guys tell us a little bit about how they got going, and we're gonna definitely get to your question. Okay.
Yeah, I got you. I promise I won't forget.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Lance.
We do a lot of texting to cold lists. We do PPC marketing, which is Google and Facebook ads, to generate the people that want to sell. We mostly do Texas, but we do look at land in other areas.
Well, let me ask you. You're getting what you're doing. How did you and Anthony meet? How did you guys become a team? Let's talk about that for a second.
We took the same course. We took the same wholesale course from Jalen White. If anybody has been around in the real estate game for 5 years or so, name might sound familiar. But Jalen White was about 17 years old when he launched his course. So I took a 17-year-old wholesale course, and me and Anthony took it at the same time, within like 2 weeks of each other, and that's how we met. And then I started doing houses. I think he started doing houses at first too. And then we both ended up delving into land, and that's how we networked together.
Well, you know what? We got Anthony on with us now. All three of us are on the same screen. Anthony, how you doing, brother?
Hey, pretty good, man. Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Hey, no, it's a pleasure. You know, I got a chance to meet Daniel personally, and he spoke about the two of you guys, what you're doing. So give us a little bit of a background on yourself. What did you do before real estate, Anthony?
I have a construction background, man. So I started working with my dad. He had a construction company when I was 12 years old. So summer, spring breaks, all that stuff. That's all I did. Is I just like remodeled apartment complexes, that kind of stuff. But, you know, with my dad's company, it was always either feast or famine, right? So we either had too much work or not enough. So I've always been in the marketing space. You know, I was always trying to find a way for us to get more business for my dad's company, so we didn't starve to death. And that was door knocking, whatever else I could find out. Eventually that evolved into online marketing, like digital marketing. And I was actually in a good space. I was looking to build a house for my own family. And I got on YouTube and I said, how do you buy land for cheap, right? So I can find a place to build a house. And I realized that people were doing lead generation for real estate and then just wholesaling the leads off. And I was like, oh man. So I had a very successful construction company. I immediately shut that down and then I went full time into real estate. And now I use my marketing superpowers for the real estate world.
How long ago did you guys meet? You guys been doing this 6 weeks, 2 years, 4 years? How long ago did you guys connect?
About 4 years ago. So we met in that group where we both joined that mastermind. It was like a $500 buy-in for this kid's mastermind. And I noticed that everybody in there was talking about wholesaling houses, and Daniel and myself were the only ones that would ever ask if anybody was doing land. And so we just connected offline and we just started networking, and then we stayed there. I noticed that he was a lot better at numbers than me. So if I had to run comps, I could be like driving for dollars and I could just text him and say, hey, can you check these numbers for me real quick? And he would send me back comps like within seconds. And I was like, man, this guy's good. So we just stayed networking that way. And then I guess over time he found out that that I was pretty good on the phone. So he would send me his information like, hey, can you call this buyer and see what you could do, or seller? And so we just like started leveraging each other's superpowers, and it turned out to just be a good fit, good connection. And now we grew it to what it is today.
Cool. Well, now I'm going to leave it to you guys. It's sort of, you know, I want to introduce you as well, Anthony. So Deanna, why don't you and Anthony, however you guys want to do it, tell us a little bit about what you guys created and how that came about.
Yeah. So I'll kind of pivot back to the CRM. So CRM, we really wanted to find a way to like help a lot of clients like automate their business, because me and Anthony, when we first started doing this, like we struggled. Like for everybody that uses Podio, it's a pain in the butt. And it's really hard to use and maneuver and manipulate. And me being a partial techie, I'm not like 100% techie that fell off the deep end yet. I'm like right on the edge. So I struggled with Podio myself. So I found the opportunity to start HiveMind. And me and Anthony were like, okay, let's do a mastermind around this too, because we really wanted to help people kind of like Sub2 does and Pace and build a community. So we started HiveMind about 2 years ago, and we've had literally, it's under 2 years, we've had 16 clients hit six-figure months, and we'll make our first like 2 millionaires probably pretty soon just using our product and service. So it's been really cool and interesting to see people accelerate their business. We literally had a client in Texas yesterday. He found a deal and assigned it all on the same day using our texting platform, and that was yesterday. So it's really cool to like help people accelerate their business and use different products and are pretty much the tools and services we provide to accelerate their business and really take it to the next level. Because most people are usually using Podio, which they struggle with, or they're using pen and paper. So if you're stuck in that space of like in a rock and a hard place, you know you need something else to kind of take it to the next level. That's all HiveMind is. And we kind of built that brand of HiveMind. So we have HiveMind CRM, the Hive With Us podcast, we have our own podcast. One of the big reasons why we started a podcast was producing education, because I'm a product of it. So I told Anthony we need to start our own podcast just to produce and release education back in the marketplace again to help nurture and build up people again, because that was our real goal when we first started this thing. So but we launched our podcast a year ago, September. We have like 319 episodes out right now. And then we're just going hard. We have our YouTube channel. With like over 1,000 videos on YouTube. We've just been producing a lot of content in general. That's why we don't mind doing calls like this all the time, because it's more of introducing people to whether automate their business and accelerate their business to the next level, or get them into the land game, because the land game, which we'll kind of hop into now, has really changed the way we look at real estate as a whole. And for everybody else that does a lot of any type of other real estate, me and Anthony might be biased, but we think land is the best space to be in real estate. And we'll kind of explain why here. So I always start off with this story. The reason why we like land is land doesn't cash flow. It doesn't, there's no inherent attachment to it whenever people inherit it. It's usually owned free and clear, and it gives us opportunity to create win-win scenarios. So land is such a unique space. There's more land than houses in the United States. So it kind of creates a overabundance of opportunity. I always like bringing up this deal early on, because this is a deal we did about a year and a half ago when we first started partnering on like our real estate and CRM business. So we had a deal come in, and this is how land doesn't cash flow and there's opportunity in it. We had a seller come in. The lot, he had a vacant lot, $35,000. It was worth about $35,000. He's like, I want 15 for it. He's already 50 cents on the dollar. That's a regular wholesale spread for houses. It's 50 cents on the dollar, and you sell it for whatever, right? So Anthony is like, he's on the phone with him. He's like, I want $15,000. And Anthony's like, I'll give you 8. He's like, no, I need 15. I'll give you 8. So they're going back and forth, and then it didn't end up working out. So he's like, you know what? Forget it. 90 days passes by. He calls back. Hey, I'm following up. I heard you wanted to buy my lot. Are you still interested? He's like, yeah, of course I'm interested. Let me look into it. He's like, how much you want for it? He's like, I want 15. And Anthony's like, no. I remember you. I told you 8 last time. It's still 8. So Anthony, he's like, all right, I'll take 8 then. One of the cool things about land is you can kind of create win-win scenario. So seller finally agreed to $8,000 for a $35,000 lot. What do we do with it? We put it on Facebook Marketplace for $8,000 down, $500 a month for 10 years. Boom, we create cash flow. So sellers have the inability to create it because it's a tax liability, because the more they hold it, they always have to pay taxes. Even if it's agricultural, they still have to put money towards that taxes. But we can turn it into cash flow by seller financing, which everybody here is mostly part of Sub2. You understand creative finance and Subject2. That's all we do just in the land space. And we create financing abilities to turn this into long-term cash flow. So like most people that own rentals, they usually cash flow $300 to $700 per rental. We're able to cash flow $500 on this little $35,000 vacant lot for 10 years with no capital into the deal. And that's the type of deals we're doing now. So we kind of fell into this land space and understood how to create income and cash flow, which we've just accelerated our deal flow into larger deals because there's a lot of land investors out there that teach you how to do this on small scale, but small scale, smaller deals, the average wholesale spread on houses is $10,000. With land, we've been able to create multiple six-figure checks just on land, not improving nothing, no tenants, no toilets, no vacancies, no evictions. We're not dealing with none of that. And we're just creating, we're creating cash flow or creating large spreads or sometimes both.
Wow.
Without having to deal with tenants or repairs or nothing. We do a lot of this virtually. Like I said, I don't even live in Texas. Anthony's the belly to belly person who'll go out and shake hands with the sellers. But a lot of the stuff we do virtually, like we bought 9 acres in Florida. A wholesaler brought it to us. We gave him 10 grand and we're looking to make like 80 on it in like 60 days. And it's just, and it's something we take over sub too. We're doing large, we're either creating cash flow or we're creating large spreads doing land. And it's really cool to see. And it's a really cool niche to be in.
I've got a question. Are you both in the same state or are you in different states as you're teaming up? I obviously, you know, I'm in Los Angeles and I'm investing out of state. And as you mentioned earlier, you being in Southern California, you're investing out of state. And you guys met through a course you attended. Was that in Southern California? You're both from Southern California. Was that course in another state and you're both from other states? Or where are you located, Anthony?
I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
Fantastic. Okay. So, and obviously you guys are doing deals outside of Texas and outside of California, all around the country.
Yeah, we just prefer Texas just because there's so much opportunity here. Land's very inexpensive and there's just an abundance of it. High demand, right? So you want to be in a high demand area. We primarily stay here. Like I said, that Florida deal kind of fell in our lap. So we jumped on it. We just saw that it was an obviously a good opportunity, a cheap buy-in. So that's why we went with that one. But yeah, if it's a deal pretty much anywhere, we'll take a look at buying it. But we prefer Texas, again, just because the demand is out of this world. Like even in a recession, we turned in 3 contracts in the title like maybe 10 days ago. And I just turned in another one yesterday for a property we're selling. So we haven't had any problems continuing to buy and sell in this climate. It just keeps, like, if anything, we're moving faster now in the last 90 days than we ever have in the last 4 years.
Do you do any improvements to the land that you buy? Do you put in, is it typically just raw land or are the utilities there or water pipes or?
So everything. We'll look at buying anything from raw land without any utilities at all up to land that's already developed, but we don't do any development at all. We buy and sell as is. So we can get into this a little bit more, but you know, what we do to like our basic go-to strategy for forcing appreciation on land. If you understand the way that land is sold and the way comps are ran, if you bought a 1 acre tract in San Antonio, you might pay $100,000, you know, maybe $125,000. But if you bought a 50 acre tract, you know, you might be able to get it for $25,000 an acre or $30,000 an acre. So what we do to force appreciation is we'll take, let's say, 100-acre ranch, and then we'll subdivide it down into 10-acre tracts, and then we'll sell those 10-acre tracts off. That's just done mostly through using a survey and doing some filings with the county and the state. Mm-hmm. We don't put up fences. We don't put in roads. We don't do anything really to the land at all. It's just pretty much just flipping paper.
Anthony, to go on with Diane's question, so you don't do any, like, zero improvements, nothing at all?
Every now and then, we might cut the grass every now and then.
Okay.
Or, yeah, clean up the fence, maybe. Other than that, no improvements.
There you go.
As far as like our target properties, we're looking for 1 acre and up. 1 acre and up. And the reason why 1 acre and up is because we don't necessarily deal in the realm of like infill lots. And the infill lot is where there's a house, lot. Those are infill lots. We like 1 acre or more because it kind of gives the ability to kind of create your own. Create your own outcome. I think it kind of answers Lance's question earlier, is that we'd like 1 acre or more. Zoning doesn't really matter. It's more of what you can do with it. So literally we buy and sell. We don't do any improvements. We don't do any variances, even though we're doing one right now. We're doing a variance right now, but we try not to do anything, like any paperwork with the county is very minimal. And it's all just subdividing or buying and selling. And then we use creative finance to take down larger properties. So we actually bought 107 acres last year and bought and sold it. We ended up making $200,000 in cash and $200,000 in notes on it.
Wow. Hey, so let me ask you, you're talking about Texas. Obviously, everyone knows Texas is a big state. I actually lived in Dallas for 4 years, so quite a minute ago, as they say. But are you guys dealing primarily with agricultural land, commercial land? Obviously, it's not. It sounds by the size of it, it's not yet residential. Is that correct?
It could be. It could be a variation of anything. Like, it could be. It could be agricultural. It could be. It could be. We are looking at commercial land right now. A lot of the base land that's out there, and the majority is just out there, is usually based on agricultural. The reason why is because of taxes. So agricultural land is taxed the least. Once you start turning into single family zoning, it increases the value of it, which means you're going to pay more in taxes. So most of the landowners out there, they leave it agricultural before they do anything to it, because once they change, oh, we're going to turn this into multifamily, now they're going to tax you as if it's multifamily land. Mm-hmm. So they try not to mess with it unless we're going to build. So there's people out there in the land space, and there's different sub niches of other investors in land itself, where they'll literally, all they do is contract land, go to the city. Hey, we want to turn this into a 10 unit apartment complex. The city approves it. They have to go through the zoning process, and then they'll go sell that paperwork to a developer that's actually going to build that 10 unit apartment complex. And then that's who actually owns it. So there's different niches out there that target infill lots, large acreage, and then there's people that do variances.
Javier, how you doing?
Good. How's everyone doing?
Good. Good to see you again, my friend. Hey, you're on with Daniel and Anthony. What's your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if you guys do any like density requirements or any types of percolation tests to improve the value of the land before you sell it.
We don't do any of that. Like I said, our literally what we do is we contract good deals and then we sell them either creatively through creative finance. And we do this with MLS properties too. Most of the problems with MLS properties is that they all want cash. And everybody, if you've been listening to Pace, I'm sure everybody here is, everybody wants cash. If you can create a creative finance opportunity to offer creative financing and rewrap that property, that's a win-win. That's a win-win opportunity every time. So we're literally using the same creative strategies that Pace teaches, just with land, 100%.
So now let me ask a question for Javier. I've got a friend of mine that's done long time development. Are you talking about density and how that land might hold water kind of a thing, Javier? Is that what you're referring to?
Not necessarily. I mean, I was with a client earlier. That's why I just jumped on. I didn't get to listen to the presentation and whatnot, but I'm asking in regards to like acquiring buildable land. That way you can build on it, you know, single family, multifamily, you know, and pretty much everything.
So I'll tell you, Javier, what you're thinking about probably is a little bit more pertinent to single family homes, right? So we see that a lot. Like we have a lot of partners in Florida. So if you're dealing with an infill lot where you got blank space, you want to make sure that land can hold a septic, that the ground percolates and that kind of stuff. In our case, where we're buying 50 acres or 100 acres, we're going to sell a 10 acre tract, you know, so we're really not concerned with what the soil is going to do or anything like that. We just sell them as is, and the people buy them. They might build a house, they might not. Sometimes they just want to store their equipment, that kinds of stuff. So there's a lot more use case for a 10 acre tract or a 50 acre tract than there is for a quarter acre infill lot in the city. And we typically avoid those. I think I've probably done one or two infill lots in 4 years.
Have you guys ever bought a big piece of land that had an easement on it? Like you bought it and there was already an easement there?
What type of easement? Because you have like pipeline easements, you have like
gas, electric, water,
access.
Any of them. Have you acquired properties that had easements?
Yeah, we bought 123 acres in Commerce, Texas. We've got it for $140,000, and we immediately listed on market for $499,000, and we hope that one closes here like in the next 10 days or something. But that one has a big giant gas line easement running like from west to east across almost the whole front of the property.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Javier, does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Hey, good to see you, my friend. Mr. Jose Perdomo, you're on, brother, with Anthony and Danny. What's your question?
Hey, how do you guys do like any type of land deal, or how do you determine like what's a good land deal?
And I would say just if it's unrestricted, those are probably going to be your best bet, right? Once you get into commercial, that kind of stuff, it starts to go by the square foot. You have a lot more, you know, challenges, like depending on like zoning with the city and all that. So we look specifically for like unrestricted land, typically agricultural, outside of the city limits. That's the easiest low hanging fruit. And that's the land that people are willing to part with for nothing. Like right now, we just got a contract on some land up by Dallas. It's about an hour from Dallas. But we've got 330 acres for like $337,000. right? In an area where stuff's going for $5,000 to $7,000 an acre. So right. Yeah, that easily, like on a, just a deal like that, dirt in the middle of nowhere might be like $1 million hit.
Okay, thank you.
One thing I want to address too, as far as like our target area, we're looking for 1 acre or more within 60 minutes of the city. And then we do, there's variations of this that we don't look like desert squares. If you go to the middle of Phoenix, Arizona, there's going to be like all these little desert squares. We don't have nothing to do with those. We like operating where people want to buy. And usually people are willing to travel within 60 minutes of a city. So think about this, anybody that lives in the city or near a city, why do you live near the city within a certain range? Because you can commute there for airport travel, for events, and all the other things that have the city advantages have, right? So it's the same reason where we like land. 60 minutes within an airport or major city, and that's kind of sweet spot where people are willing to travel to live on their own space.
Bobby, you're on with Daniel and Anthony. What's your question?
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I just got off work, and I kind of hopped on some of this. I kind of have a two-part question. I'm still kind of fresh in the game for creative financing, trying to raise capital. What was like the first piece of land that you guys did? Like how much went into that?
I'll tell you one of our most notable deals. I think it's probably one of our first land deals, if not the first. It was 46 acres in a place called Grandview, Texas. It's like 40 minutes south of Fort Worth. So what we negotiated a creative deal with her. We negotiated $10,000 down. She wanted $225 for the tract. So we told her we would probably do a subdivide and give her 100% of the proceeds as we sold it. So we gave her $10,000 down. We took title to the property with a vendor lien for her. And we listed it on MLS. And the neighbor bought it immediately for $330.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, we're $10,000 out of pocket on that property. And I think we cleared like $85,000.
So did you guys already have that capital or did you get like a private money lender to do that?
Yeah, we had the capital on hand. Typically with land, if you do need private capital and you're in Texas, we can help with that. But on a lot of these deals, like right now, while we were starting this call, we got a lead on a deal where a guy's getting an acre and a half for $40,000. So before the call even started, I already threw it on Facebook Marketplace for $40,000 down, right? Huh. So a lot of times, if you concentrate on those outskirts pieces of land, a lot of times you can fund the deal with the end buyer's down payment on the seller finance and then sell it on a wrap. So you don't even need capital really in the land game. And if you have a deal that's so good that it requires capital, then we can back you on that.
Cool. I guess I have a third part to my question, if you guys are cool with that before I run.
Yeah, please.
I was bouncing around because I'm in sub two now, so I'm always looking on different ways. And I found a piece of property in town. It's one of those sub lots kind of towards not a full acre. It's in between some houses. Well, mm-hmm. it's I live up in Northern California, so they're farther away than just like a half acre or so. Mm-hmm. But I found it because they're behind on taxes and it's like a 70-year-old woman. And if I did some kind of a creative finance where I just took it over from like just from the tax liens or whatever, it would, even though it's going against your guys' in between housing lots, would you guys still go for something like that?
Well, yeah, man.
Yeah, if there's room, so you could do a few things there depending on what she wants, right? Let's say there's a $10,000 tax lien. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's say she says, hey, give me $5,000 and it's yours. Right. And yeah. Maybe she has a mortgage on it still. So you'd give her the $5,000 down. Right. And you can buy it subject to that existing tax lien. So you don't buy it. You don't pay it off when you take title. As long as you disclose to the end buyer that there's a tax lien in place, you can go ahead and turn around and sell that thing on a wrap. Leave the tax lien in place. Say, hey, there's a $10,000 lien on there. I want $20,000 down. You give the lady her $5,000 from the end buyer's $20,000. You put $15,000 in your pocket and you never cleared the tax lien.
Man, that's awesome. Thank you, guys.
Great question.
I'm downloading your course. Thank you very much. I got to run, though. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Bobby. Elizabeth, you're on with Daniel and Anthony. What's your question?
Hi, everyone. My question was about land. So sometimes the land has like timber on it and so, or forest or whatever. So the natural, materials on the land, and then you have the mineral rights as well. Have you guys ever had to deal with that or sell that off?
Yep. So whenever we come across mineral rights, we typically keep them, whether they're producing or not. I think it's just good just to hang on to them. And then as far as timber goes, we had one deal we were going to do for that. You can use that to fund the deal. Typically the sellers know that it's there, but if they don't care what you do with it, you got to consider a couple of things, right? When's the last time it's been cleared? If the trees, if they're mostly like under 6 inches, it's just considered pulp wood, which goes for like pennies a pound, which would not yield too much. But if you have, you know, mature trees that have been there forever and they're great big round trees, then those bring in a lot more capital. So yeah, you can use that to partially fund the deal if the seller's willing to work with you on that. Or if you can just buy it outright, let's say you can pick it up for $10,000 an acre, and then you get an estimate on that timber, and they might say, hey, well, yeah, well, we're looking at paying you $4,000 or $5,000 an acre. Well, that might cut your acquisition price of that property in half. But yeah, we haven't had to do it yet, but definitely a lot of potential there too.
And for timber, usually it's got to be over 30 years, 40 years. Like it hasn't been touched in 40 years or more.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Mario, you're on with Daniel and Anthony. What's your question?
Hey, Daniel and Anthony, thank you. I got in late, so I'm a developer out of here over on this side. Obviously, I'm doing a deal in California. Do you guys do the play? And I don't know where you take it from raw land to fully entitled and then sell it to the developers or builders.
We have people in place that can do it. Literally, we're buying and selling. We try and not to do it. We do it. We're lazy. We try and do as little work as possible. We're trying to flip the paper. We're trying to flip the paper just like people flip houses. And mm-hmm. It's just flipping seller finance creatively. And that's usually our exit strategy. One of the big reasons why I haven't even mentioned this yet, but somebody asked a question about this a little bit later, but where do we find our buyers? The reason why, like, people that do houses, they have to like create that wholesale spread and kind of sell it to the end buyer who's going to make money too. With land, we sell directly to the retail market, which is why our spreads are so large. We're not taking two haircuts. We're only taking we get everything. We get the full lump sum. So usually, everybody we're selling to the end buyer every time.
So a builder.
Yeah, the builder. If we're going to sell it, we're going to sell it to the builder. And like I said, We try not to go through the paperwork because going through the county to sell to the builder that's going to build 100 homes, that might take 90 days, 120 days of approval going through the county. And we can flip that lot before even then. We can flip our lot and cash out of that deal within 90 days.
Nice. All right. So, yeah, it's definitely – I love to exchange information because what we do is the end play. We'll do the 18 months fully entitled. We'll acquire for $500,000, sell it for $6 million 18 months later.
Yeah.
And then I bring in my private money guys and then we get grant funding.
We're short frame buy and sell. The 18 months to get paid is a long, we can do 20 deals by then.
Right. All right.
Yeah, so, I was going to say we're not opposed to it though. A lot of the stuff we're doing is agricultural lands on the outskirts, so there's no sewer present. But yep, yeah. Right. Right now we're trying to lock up about 78 acres of industrial land, and I believe there's sewer there. So we are going to look at some entitlements on that property and see what we could do on it.
And that's the whole key there. If there's city sewer and city electric, city water all right there, that's ready for that play. But usually when we're dealing outskirts, we're dealing with septic. Like city sewer might be 10 miles away, where if you bring city sewer up to that point, it's going to be ridiculous. So it really depends on where the lot is and what we can do with it at its current state, because we're not adding in utilities. We're not adding in a road. We're not adding in a fence. We're not doing any of that. It's simple buy and selling.
Yeah. Well, I have a 600 acre one where it's 3 miles of piping, and that's why nobody wants to touch it. But what I did was I did a 500 tiny homes. And I put in septic every 5 tiny homes. So I avoided the whole $600. It's what, $600 a meter? And it's, it's expensive. It was several million dollars.
Yep.
And the town approved it. I'd love to exchange some ideas with you guys because I come from the other side. I like that idea. You do it. So you probably flip these guys in 30 days.
Yeah, we're flipping them quick.
I'll give you one example right now. We have a 54 acres locked up in a town called Pleasanton, just south of San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And, we got 120 a day close on it. We got the engineers to come in and do the survey and go ahead and divide it down into 5 lots. And we already have 3 lots pre-sold, and we don't even have to close for another 60 days. I think I already have a buyer for a 4th lot. So in a span of 120 days, we should clear like 450, you know, 500.
With no added extra work. And here's the other thing, like with houses, you have to move in 30 days or less. You contract that property out, you better get it at the right price or else you're not going to move it. With land, we have extended 90 days, 120 day periods where that gives you time to pretty much reverse wholesale that deal and find a retail buyer for each one of those lots to bring it all at the closing table whenever you're ready to close. Yeah, so you have an extended time period.
Another thing with land is we never sell below comp, right? So everybody that's wholesaling houses, they try to buy it like at 60 cents. So you can sell it for 70 cents or 80 cents. You know, we'll buy at 50 cents and we'll sell it at like 120% of value. So we never sell at comps. We're always creating new comps everywhere we go. We always sell over value.
And the key to that is through creative financing. So we offer creative financing because most people that can buy land, they're usually cash buyers, or it's really hard to get a loan through for land in general. So you have to come in cash. If you're coming in cash, you're going to get a discount, just the bottom line. So we offer creative finance to give opportunity to that buyer that can't necessarily afford a 10-acre ranch, but they have $50,000 down and they can afford that monthly payment. That's what we're facilitating. So we sell to one of our buyers right now is a mobile home dealer. He'll actually come in, he'll buy our lots creative finance. He'll come in, put the mobile home on, and then he'll sell them again. And that's who our buyer. We're working with other businesses in a very niche marketplace. Think about this. Most people that buy land, they usually can't afford to, or they're looking to buy for recreational use. If you're looking to buy a property that you need to live in, you're always going to take care of the home first. So home is always number one. People that buy land, they're using it for recreational use, using it for investment use, they're using it for some other type of adverse usage. So they're usually ready to allocate that capital. So most of our buyers are usually, with seller financing, we can find a buyer very quickly in any market.
Yep. And since we're seller financing, like I said, we don't have to sell at retail. We can sell well above retail, up to 50% above retail sometimes. Yeah,
creating new comps. Like we've contracted deals like, oh, that's way overpriced. You're never going to sell it. Contract comes out and somebody wants to buy it, seller finance.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, I'm looking for in that area, in your area, is 10 acre parcels that I can build 300 doors at one time, because I have several $1 billion assets for my ability to buy it. So
in Southern California?
It don't matter. It's really, we can buy anywhere in the country.
Yeah, I've got one in Texas that that could be it's great for residential neighborhoods.
It's a very niche. It's one roof, 300 doors, 10 acres.
Nice.
A very specific niche. So if you come across that, that's a rare bird, but we'll pay cash.
Jason, how are you, brother?
Best day ever, JJ.
Hey, it's good to see you, brother. Hey, what's your question? For Daniel and Anthony.
Well, I had two. One was the last time, just a couple questions ago. What minimal requirements are you looking for with regards to acreage? You said an acre or more. How close to an urban area is it? Is it more recreational land usage? Questions like that. So what are your minimal? I'm sure you have kind of like a checklist of minimal requirements. That's number one. Number two is, he was already just answering that. And what's the average annual land value appreciation in the United States? So he can continue answering that. So that's my two.
Yeah. So there's investors out there that they'll buy land and hold it and wait for the appreciation of that property. It takes way too long to appreciate, for that value to appreciate. So like land, as a city expands, it expands into rural land. So as long as you're ahead of the curve, you can always catch that wave because it's always ever expanding. As long as it's a growing population in a growing city, it's always ever expanding into the rural areas. So as long as you understand that, you can always get ahead of it and find good deals forever. Like if Texas stops growing and it goes to Florida, well, you just go to Florida and do the same thing. So wherever the population is moving and migrating to is where people want to buy the deals. 1 acre or more within 60 minutes of a major city. And like I said, we have broken this rule before. He mentioned it earlier, we're buying like 300 acres. We're picking it up for a grand an acre in the middle of nowhere. It's probably worth about 2,500, which is 50 cents in the dollar. So of course we're gonna go after that deal too. Like our sweet spot is an acre or more within 60 minutes of any major city. And that's kind of that sweet spot of people are willing to commute to whatever and have that space that they need.
Great, thanks.
Gwen, you are on with Anthony and Danny. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Do you keep like certain developers in mind as you're looking at these land options or properties and you're trying to score a good deal on those? Do you have a like a list of developers that you keep in mind to throw the deals out to?
Short answer, no, because developers, they want a year due diligence. They need that time. We can flip that deal over and over again and deals like that within 90 days. So like Most people know D.R. Horton's one of the biggest dot buyers. They're probably the worst buyer to deal with because they want 18 months due diligence. I don't have time to wait for that. And they no. So if I can flip that deal faster to an end buyer, like an investor or a minority that wants 10 acres that's going to put a mobile home on it or a manufactured home or two tiny homes to put their compound family compound down to hold their cousins and whatever, those are the end buyers we're looking for. We're not looking for we're not looking for ABC building company.
Right.
Thank you, Gwen. You know, Daniel, Gwen brought up a really good question. So, and you answered that, is you're not looking to work with developers, but actually people who just want it for their own personal use or use for their family. Is that correct?
Yeah, 100%. And that's one of like me and Anthony's like big driving goal is like, we talked to a lot of Texans, and if anybody here from Texas are like, oh, keep Texas in Texas. Keep Texas for Texas. And that's really what we're doing. There's a lot of outside foreign buyers that are coming in, buying all these US land and just sitting on it. Literally the people we sell to are individuals in that city that are looking to hold on to it, hold on for appreciation. If they hold on to that property for 5-10 years and the wave of growth comes into them, they're holding on to a really valuable asset that they can tear that house down and build 100 homes and sell it to the developer down in the future once city sewer comes up to that property. So it's kind of like a holding transition point, and that's really who we want to benefit from the properties we want to do it. So we're fulfilling a niche in the marketplace where people have these 100 acres, 50 acre lots, 1,000 acre lots that they can't move because they're $10 million, $20 million. All we're doing is breaking that down into a bite-sized portion where an average individual that wants to buy land can't afford to.
So do you have any people that are like return buyers?
100%. We have return buyers all the time. Like I said, we deal with a lot of minorities. We sold a couple lots to the same buyer. We work with a mobile home dealer that actually come in and put mobile homes on these properties. So we're dealing with a lot of the same buyers too. Imagine this. When you wholesale your house, imagine if you had a retail buyer that would buy that same deal over and over again. Like the reason why land is so like vast and opportunistic is because you can make retail spreads on this. Like everybody's like six figures on a land deal. We've probably done that. How many six figure land deals have we done, Anthony?
A lot, maybe 10.
A lot.
Yeah.
10 six figure land deals. And some of those are multi six figures, you know? Like this is
now we're getting to a space where we're starting to be able to do like 300, 500, 900. We're looking at one that's going to produce like 1.7 to 2.2. And we're starting to find those more and more in abundance, you know, where it's not just now, it's not 100,000. Yeah. Now it's several hundred thousand on a single transaction. Yeah.
And this is a good thing about our niche too, because if you find the deal, you might make 100K as assignment fee. Like we're looking to pay out huge fees on this stuff too, because there's more juice to spread around. If you can find us a good deal, literally one of my clients, he found us a deal. It wasn't working that worked out, but he did the front legwork where if it was laying a little bit differently, you might have made six figures on it, you know. And it's just doing the front legwork. And there's so much opportunity out there. Like I said, there's more land than houses, 100%.
Lance, you are on with Daniel and Anthony. What's your question?
Hey guys, I just was curious, you know, doing the owner finance on the land, is it a similar contract that Pace kind of does, or, you know, where if they don't pay for 30 days or 60 days that you get the property back, or how's that work?
So we actually convey title whenever we sell our finance. So when you convey title, we're actually acting as the bank. So we have three options. We can cash for keys, get the title back. We can refinance the loan and restructure the loan based if they were giving us another down payment, or we can foreclose. Those are three options for us being in that position as a deed of trust and the bank position. So we have those three options to do. Usually the cool thing about this is another reason why we like land. If you sell or finance that deal, it gives you opportunity to redo that same deal over and over again. Whereas houses, if you wholesale that house, it's done and over with. You're never seeing that transaction ever again. It's not coming back to you. Whereas this, you can do that same transaction and re-leverage that over and over again.
Have you guys had any examples of that? Or have you taken anything back or had foreclosed on anything?
We're still, like I said, we've only been doing this. We've been doing land for 4 years, and we've been doing bigger land deals in the last 2 years. But we've had opportunities may come up in the future. We're like, all right, come back to us. But a lot of these opportunities, like I said, sometimes we sell the note, sometimes we keep it. It really depends on where the property is. But a lot, we're just creating notes, man, on the back end. You're creative selling.
Yeah, but no, we haven't had to foreclose yet.
We haven't had to foreclose on anybody, not yet. So someone messaged me privately. They said, how do we find these? We use text and we use PPC. PPC, Google Ads Marketing. If you're interested in that, we have a program where we can launch that out.
And what's then, PPC?
Google Ads.
Okay.
Google Ads go into a website. And then we text. You can pull a list through Data Tree, Priced, or what's another one? List Source of a vacant land and just skip trace it. Just the same thing you do with houses. Pull a list, skip trace it, and use your marketing strategy. Most people in the land space, they do a lot of direct mail, but texting is the cheapest way. Like I always equate this to, like, if you can have a conversation for under a quarter, I'm going to do that all day long. Because one direct mail piece is going to cost you 50 cents and they might not ever call you. And usually you're going to send seven to eight mail pieces.
Look, what you guys are talking about is mind-blowing. It's exciting. It's crazy. If people want to get in touch with you guys, we talked about social media the other day. I was going to share your Instagram and I was looking for your YouTube channel. But what's the best way for folks to reach out to you if they want to work with you or get into your coaching or training program or something like that? What's the best way people to reach you?
So if you're actually interested into doing deals like this or learning how to do deals more in depth, we actually do a weekly education call. You can text land at 210-972-1842. I'll send you a link to that. We do a lot of the stuff on YouTube. So there's some stuff on education out there like that. We have our Instagram podcast. You can find us literally search HiveMind CRM on any platform. And we provide a lot of education towards the land space and real estate in general.
This is your YouTube channel here, correct?
Yep.
So fantastic. You've got bringing over 1,000 subscribers.
It's 1.2. It's 1,200.
1,200. Okay. And you've got a variety of topics. This is great. And then in addition to that, you've got your Instagram. People can follow you on Instagram and they can follow you on YouTube.
Yep. We're projected to do like $1.2 million net in the first quarter of 2023.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say we're pushing like 10 million under contract. And we actually have a Zoom in 45 minutes for another deal that's 7 million.
And then Jason's got another question here in the chat. Are comps in outlying areas hard to find?
No, I don't think so. It just depends how far out you are. But if you're within an hour of the city, it should be a decent amount of them. And if you can't find any comps, then that might tell you that there's not a lot of buyers in that area. So I might shy away from that deal if there's not a lot of buyers out there. And again, if you're going to turn around and sell it on seller finance or on a wrap, comps kind of don't apply. You know, it's good for a rule of thumb. But if everything's selling for 20 an acre, you know, then you don't be afraid to sell it for 25 an acre, 30 an acre on payments. Yeah.
You guys have been on a roll. Some great questions, great value. And obviously we're not here to do a 33-hour call because that's what you guys have training and coaching for. People can reach you later. Hey guys, if any of you on the call would like to connect with Daniel or Anthony, please feel free to reach out to me. If you guys are watching on the YouTube channel, please feel free to reach out to me. I will connect you guys to them. If you haven't, weren't able to pick up their contact information. You guys are amazing. Just what you're doing is a little bit different, obviously, because people are doing houses, single family, multifamily. To hear what you're doing with land is outstanding. You guys are killing it. Thank you so much for being here. I've got one question to ask you guys before we pull away is that, you know, the group I've got is a networking group. It's about helping people to build their business, which you guys have done. What role has networking played for you guys to get you where you're at? And for the new investor, as you guys sit now from a standpoint of being coaches and teachers and trainers, what is the importance of networking, or saying joining a group like this one here that I've got, for the new investor? What's the value of that for people in real estate to get their business going? Anthony, you want to take that first?
Yep. So I applaud you for what you've put together and for the people that are in here in this room. First of all, I have a network marketing background. So I think that being in a networker and connecting with other people, it allows you to access, for one, information and knowledge, right? That would take you years to gather by yourself. It allows you to be connected to capital and resources, right? Like people bringing you leads and capital to put into your deals. We do a lot of private capital raising for our deals. And I think that it makes your marketing get easier and easier. So as us being coaches and training people, our need to market is continuing to go down and down as more and more people start to bring us deals. So it's like a self-feeding ecosystem where you give out knowledge and then people come with deals and you end up JVing on stuff. So it's a good environment to be in, to where you're constantly giving. And then it seems like sooner or later your network continues to give to you more, even more so than you can put out at any time.
Thank you so much. Daniel, I see you all over the place. I've met you in person a number of times. We got to go to a baseball game or a football game, my friend, but back to the question at hand. You're meeting people all the time. I see you shaking hands, kissing babies out there, like you're, you know, going for off. You know, people like you. You're very likable.
The show is sponsored by The List Guys. Do you need more leads in your local or virtual market? 1 in 10 small businesses don't invest in any kind of marketing. The List Guys have over 35 plus list types to choose from, and you can mix and match any list or criteria. We also use the Skip Trace list and provide up to 7 numbers and email addresses. Every list you purchase will be scrubbed against previous purchases. The List Guys are here to save you time. Contact The List Guys today at www.1listguys.com. That's www.1listguys.com.
For the newer investor, what is the importance of networking for them to get their business going?
I think community is one of the biggest factors that we've leveraged. It's helped us help a lot of people. I think me and Anthony talk about this all the time, is that you need three different types of people in your life. You need mentors, people at the same level of you, so people understand where you're going, and people you can bring up with you. And I think it's really important to share the information you do know, no matter what stage you're at. And it's important to be of a giving mindset, because you don't know whose families you could change. Like, even us recording the Zoom is going to be on YouTube for the next 10, 30 years, and it might change somebody's life 25 years from now. And if you're watching this, I hope it does. So who knows? You don't know the extent of the difference you can make just by being out there and being yourself and being true to yourself.
So if you guys are watching this video right now on YouTube, please like the video. And in the comments below on YouTube, please put a comment in there about what you've seen or you know, questions you may happen to ask. And if you guys are on the call right now, don't go away. Like always, we're going to go to the breakout rooms, do some live networking. Hopefully, Daniel and Anthony can stick around for a few minutes so you can be in a breakout room with them. And on behalf of Daniel, hey, Anthony, Daniel, you guys ready to sign off? We'll just say on behalf of the three of us, I want to thank you guys for being with us today. And look for more from Flip Side Up with JJ and more networking. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching this YouTube video. We hope you found value. Please like, subscribe, and hit the bell to watch more videos just like this one.